I'd like you to turn with me now, please, to John chapter 3, well-known passage, John chapter 3, and I'm going to introduce you to Nicodemus. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "Are you Israel's teacher?" said Jesus, "and do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak what we know and testify what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No man has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Thank you. Please keep your Bibles open at that passage. Now, let me introduce you to Nicodemus. He is so like us, you wouldn't believe it. If Nicodemus lived in Wales, you'd call him Nicodemus Jones, and he'd be perfectly at home here. To look at Nicodemus is like looking in the mirror. Firstly, he thought that the way to get on in life was through education. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's educated. He's university level educated. He's professional. And hasn't he done well? He's got a government job. Not only a government job, a top government job. Israel was governed by a council of 70 men. These were the House of Lords in Israel. And Nicodemus had got onto that House of Lords, onto the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was one of the top men, the great and good in Israel. And if you glance at verse 10, Jesus says to him, "Are you Israel's teacher? Are you the recognized teacher in this land of Israel?" Get the picture. Nicodemus is so like the middle class people in England and Wales who think the way to get on is to pass exams, who urge their children to do well and to go to university. Nicodemus represents all these intelligent people who are in our churches, in the established churches today. And he's so professional in the way he approaches Jesus. He comes up and says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God." And who's the we? Well, the we is the professional teaching body, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees. Most of them hate Jesus. They're on the council with Nicodemus. But Nicodemus is so professional. The council might hate Jesus, but he approaches Jesus with respect. And that's how we teach our children to approach people, isn't it? With courtesy. Rabbi, he's saying, Reverend Sir, you might not be ordained as a clergyman, but we recognize that you've come from God. Nicodemus speaks with respect. You're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. He recognized that God was with Jesus, and therefore he ought to listen to him. He thought, I ought to understand this man. But like you, Nicodemus is busy, and so he comes to Jesus at night. But he's also canny. He's concerned about his career, and it would not look good for him to be seen talking with Jesus, this man the people on the Sanhedrin hated and will eventually kill. So in order to save his face, he comes to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. And like you and I, he doesn't gush. He doesn't kneel before Jesus. He wants to talk, one professional to another. Remember the rich young ruler, when he approached Jesus, he ran down the road and then he knelt in the middle of the road and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How embarrassing. Nicodemus doesn't do that. He doesn't gush. He wants a discussion in private. Isn't he so like us? Educated, professional. We want a discussion. We don't want too much emotion. So Nicodemus is educated. And not only is he educated, he is so moral. He's an excellent guy. Nicodemus believed that if heaven existed, we're not so sure, some of us, if heaven existed, I believe it exists, he should have a place in heaven because he was such an excellent guy. He knew who went to heaven. Good people, moral people, church people. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That means one who's separated from all everything dodgy, anything dirty. Nicodemus has very clear moral standards. Nothing dishonest about this guy. This guy would make an excellent husband. He would be an excellent father. This guy, if he came to most of our churches, we'd stick him on the diaconate. He's such an excellent guy. You'd respect his sincerity. As a Pharisee, he would give quite a proportion of his money to the things of God. As a Pharisee, he would know his Bible. He had studied the Bible all his life. As a Pharisee, he was disciplined in his prayer life. And he does something that I don't do. He fasted regularly. I think it was every Tuesday and Thursday. I'm not quite sure about that. But twice a week, he fasted because he was so keen to know God. That's keen. He's a good moral man. And like you, he presumed. What did he presume? He presumed that his place in heaven was assured. If anyone was going to get to heaven, it was going to be him. He'd done all the right things. He jumped through the religious hoops, circumcised when he was 8 days old, or like our ceremonies of christening or dedication or confirmation. He was a recognized religious authority. His credentials are impressive. If heaven existed, surely a man like this ought to get a place in heaven. And don't you make that assumption. And 99% of the people in Wales make that assumption. Heaven It's for good people. It's for moral people. I mean, he's not perfect, but God will forgive. Now, this is the man who comes to see Jesus, this educated, professional, good man, comes to see Jesus in the dark. And he is in the dark. For all his education, he does not really know how to find God. He's hoping, he doesn't really know. And so there, Jesus is sitting on a flat roof overlooking Jerusalem with Nicodemus, enjoying the cool part of the day. But Jesus doesn't beat about the bush. He looks at Nicodemus and he says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he's banging the table. He's speaking with divine authority. And we need to sit up and listen. I tell you the truth. Listen up. Hear this. Now, Nicodemus had talked in general terms. We know that you're a teacher who's come from God. And Jesus just cuts that out straight away. And he eyeballs Nicodemus. I tell you the truth. I'm talking to you personally. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. No one. In spite of all his Bible knowledge. In spite of all his circumcision and his religious ceremonies. In spite of his disciplined prayer life. In spite of that fasting. Of his giving his money to good causes. This comes as a shock to Nicodemus. And you can see this man reeling under the authority of Jesus. This is radical. No one can enter heaven unless he's born again. He presumed that his place was assured. Very few in Israel had credentials as impressive as him. And now this teacher, who is acknowledged come from God, is sitting in front of him and saying, he can't get in unless he's born again. Now let me explain this word, the kingdom of heaven. The Jews and Christians too divide history into two time zones. This time zone, when God rules in theory, but we see a lot of sickness and a lot of evil and a lot of corruption. And then the second time zone, judgment day will come when we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then Jesus will reign and he will kick out all sin and all suffering. He will wipe away every tear from the eyes of his people. That part two is called by the Jews the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. We abbreviate it to just talking when we talk about heaven. And Jesus says, listen, Nicodemus, I tell you with the authority of the Son of God, you will never enter heaven because you are good. Nicodemus made two mistakes. He thought good people went to heaven. And you can feel him almost screaming in protest. Oh, my life. I've disciplined my life. I'm devout. Surely I ought to get to heaven. And Jesus says, you'll never get to heaven because you're good. And the second mistake that Nicodemus made was that the kingdom of heaven is not just future, it's now. You can't wait until you die. You must be born again now, in this life. Now you must be born again. In Greek it's, you must be born from above. The life of God from above must enter you if you're going to go to heaven. Now Nicodemus is getting impatient. He thought that Jesus might have recommended him to read this book or that book, or told him to get a grip on his temper, or give some money to charity. But no, Jesus is saying to this guy, the equivalent of our bishop, Nicodemus, you're not going to get to heaven in spite of all your credentials. Nicodemus thinks that Jesus is talking nonsense in riddles. He can't understand. How can a grown man fit the second time into his mother's womb? How can I be born again? Like Nicodemus, many of us don't understand what it means to be born again. So Jesus explains it. Flesh gives birth to flesh. My parents got together and produced physical life. It would last 70 or something years. That's the flesh life. But the Bible is very clear. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. This body is suitable for life on this earth. It is not fitted for the spiritual life where God is. And worse, this flesh life is hostile to the rule of God. We love to do our own thing. Paul says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. I want to please myself. I don't like the idea of Jesus ruling every detail of my life. The sinful nature, because it is self-centered, cannot please God. It must be changed. Flesh gives birth to flesh. And even if we have the best upbringing in the world, our lives are marred by selfishness, by lies, by impurity, by pride. We can never, ever reach God's standards. And then Jesus goes on to explain, but spirit gives birth to spirit. The Holy Spirit must give you spiritual life if you're ever going to get to heaven. The Holy Spirit can give you this morning the very life of God. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can give you eternal life. And when the Holy Spirit breathes God's life into us, we are like a baby. And as a baby breathes, so now we pray and we know we're in touch with Almighty God. Father, precious Father. And when the Holy Spirit gives you new life within you, you're hungry like a baby, and the Word of God stops being boring, and you live for the Word of God. And above all, you have a relationship with God, and you know because of the witness of the Spirit inside you that nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And this new life has got the characteristics of God Himself. We love what God loves, and we hate what God loves. Nicodemus, flesh can only give birth to flesh. A life suitable for this life, it cannot give you a spiritual life. Spirit, Holy Spirit, must give you a spiritual life. And so Jesus emphasizes, he's a teacher who's come from God, and he says, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he's born again. You can imagine our sinful nature like an inner tube on a bicycle. And you can put a few patches on it, but in the end, it is so rotten, you have to throw it out and get a new tire. And our sinful nature is like that. It's no use sticking patches on it and hope we can please God. The church patch, the prayer patch, or the reading of the Bible patch. God says, you can't stick patches on this nature and hope it is fit for heaven. You need a new nature, a nature that comes from God. And like Nicodemus, we cry, how? How can we be born of the Spirit? How can we be born again? And Jesus tells us in verse 5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Born of water comes first. That speaks of cleansing. Ezekiel put it like this, when we come to God in our sin, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. We have to come to God first for cleansing. Don't you long to be clean in the sight of a holy God? And this means we have to examine ourselves, not in the light of what people think, but in the light of God's Word, in the light of the Ten Commandments, in the light of the Sermon on the Mount. And we have to be honest with God. And it requires brokenness on our part. Oh God, I have broken your laws. And it depends on a resolution on our part. God, I'm today turning around from pleasing myself, and I want to live to please you. And when we come to God like that, he shows us Jesus on the cross, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And God says, I will cleanse you from all your impurities. In that moment, we come to God in our brokenness. But cleansing is not enough. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. After cleansing, we will go out and commit the same sins again unless God empowers us. We need his power to live a life that's pleasing God. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart. I will put my Spirit within you. And in that moment of brokenness, God gives you his life. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but Jesus soaks you, baptizes you, drenches you, immerses you in the Holy Spirit. And today, you can know the life of God within you. You can know what it is to be born of the Holy Spirit. How? First must come repentance, cleansing. And secondly, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. This means that God is invisible, and you can't see him move, like you can't see the wind moving. But when I preach, and when the Word of God is opened up, the Holy Spirit moves amongst the seats in the chapel and whispers to you, you are the one that needs forgiveness. You need to be born again of the Holy Spirit. Do not assume that because you're in church, you are going to heaven. And this comes as a bit of a shock to us. We can understand how drug addicts or prostitutes or criminals need a new start, but Jesus confronts us and says, we need a new start. We must be born again. Jesus loves you too much to let you build your lives on a delusion that church going can get you to heaven. You cannot enter unless you are born again. And you know what thrills me? Yes, you cannot see God moving, but like the wind, you can see the effects of the wind, and you can see the effects when God's Spirit enters a life. You can see a new joy on people's faces. You see a new peace in their hearts. Their life has got a new direction. They're not drifting anymore. They've got a new strength to resist sin where they failed before. And above all, they know that they are loved with an everlasting love. And this love of God will grow stronger through life, through death, and all the way to eternity. Now, before I was a minister, I was a ship's engineer and traveled around the world often. Do you know what thrilled me as I traveled around the world? all over the world, the wind of the Spirit is blowing, drawing people to Jesus. I happen to be converted in communist China. And the place where I was converted, Mao Zedong had written, "This is a God-free zone." And now in that place, a small church is 5,000 people. All over the world, the Spirit is moving, drawing people to Jesus. And he's so powerful that no government. Remember how Castro said he was going to abolish the church in Cuba in 7 years. And now that church in Cuba is growing so fast. No ridicule, no education system can stop the Holy Spirit giving to the one who prays the life of God, transforming fearful, uncertain people into confident, singing Christians. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So this morning, this is the message of Jesus. Have no confidence in anything you can do. Nothing you can do can put you right with God. But have great confidence in what Jesus has done. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have confidence in what Jesus will do. Ask, and he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. You know where they are with you, and I pray that they would come to know what it means to be born again of your Holy Spirit. Amen.